What I want to talk about today is we've learned a lot in Lumdus about the fixed calendar, right? When it started, why it started, maybe we even got one rule of Loa HaRosh. But what are the rules of the fixed calendar? Like, when they made the fixed calendar, whoever made the fixed calendar, but clearly by the time the Gaonim is, we have it, what are the rules that fix the calendar? Like, how do I know if I don't have a Luach? How can I know just based on the rules that the Chachamim were metakein, how to set the calendar? So it's actually very simple, and it's based on a few principles. The first principle is something we're familiar with, which is the idea of leap years. So we start with two numbers. There are only two astronomical numbers relevant to the calendar, and that is the length of the month and the length of a year. As we know, unlike the Christians, who have a purely solar year, right? The year is just however long the seasons are. It takes us to circle the sun, 365 and a quarter approximately days, and they divide into 12 months just for convenience, and the month could be 30, 31, 28, 29, randomly. And as opposed to the Muslims, who have a pure lunar year, 12 cycles of the moon is a year, which means that a year is a lot less than 365 days, which means that Ramadan could be in the summer sometimes, the winter sometimes, because the year is not always the same seasons. We have to take into account both. Our months have to be months of the moon, so a month has to be an exact, or on the average, a lunar cycle. Yet, our year has to be a solar year, as we know, Chodesh Aviv, etc., everything we've been learning about, so that the Chagim will stay in the same season, and it won't be like the Muslims who, you know, if you're lucky, Ramadan's in January, it's December, and if you're unlucky, Ramadan is in June, and you have to fast an extra couple hours every day. So how long is a month, and how long is a year? So Chazal give us a Masora of the length of a month. The length of a month is 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 halakim. Chalakim are, I know they always say it in shul, we don't know what it means, it's nothing too intimidating. It just means, like nowadays, we divide hours into 60 minutes, and minutes into 60 seconds. That's sort of random, we could divide it over we want. It's good to divide into a number that has a lot of factors, like that's divisible by 2 and 3 and 5 and etc. In their days, they used to divide an hour into 1,080. If you think that's very useful, a lot of things divide into 1,080. So it just means 12 and 793 ten-eightieths of an hour. What does that work out to in the way we would say? We would say it's 29 days, 12 hours, and that works out to 44 minutes and 3 1/3 seconds. A chelek is actually 3 1/3 seconds, or 1/18th of a minute, or 1,080th of an hour. So that's what the month is, 29 days, 12 hours, around 29 and a half days, which is another 44 minutes and 3 1/3 seconds. Modern astronomy has determined the length of the month to be within a chelek or two, meaning within a cup, within, no, not much less, within a fraction of a second of what Chazal were koveya, meaning the modern day scientists will say it might not be 3 1/3, it might be, you know, two, instead of 3.3 seconds, it might be 2.8 seconds. Maybe off by about half a second, according to modern astronomy. Basically, off by about half a second is not very significant in the long run, meaning if you're off by half a second every month, over thousands and thousands of years, you get to be off by an hour or two. I'm saying it doesn't change the calendar. So for all intents and purposes, the value Chazal gave us for the length of a lunar month is accurate within a fraction of a second, is 100%, 99.999% scientifically accurate. Why? How did they get such an accurate read in the old days? Maybe it was Sod Hashem Li Reyav, but it actually isn't so hard scientifically because it's easy to tell when the lunar month starts. It's easy to tell when there's a new moon. How is it easy to tell when there's a new moon? Meaning, how did they even figure out, like, when the month started exactly? I know, we can all see when there's a new moon. How do you know exactly what second was the new moon? So it's actually easy to tell, and this is why
unless it was Sod Hashem Lireyav, but if they figured it out scientifically, this is how they figured it out scientifically. The Chazanish says that they didn't have a Mesorah Halacha Moshe Sinai, all the exact astronomical rules. They were supposed to figure it out using their logic, because if you think about it, how does the month work? Here, let's say we're looking from above. And here is the sun, right? And here is the earth. The moon cycles around the earth. Which way does it cycle around the earth? I hope I remember the right way, but don't. Here is the moon. Here is the moon cycling around the earth, right? So here's the moon. How does the month work? It is very simple. The sun, the moon doesn't have any light, as we know. That's why it's the Mefchinas Malchus. Less than the Klum. The moon doesn't have any light, it reflects the light of the sun. So if you think about it, how much sun light does it reflect? If it's on the other side of the earth, then the sunlight bounces off the moon and back to earth. This is a, if I maybe make bold the part that's reflecting light, it reflects light the whole thing. That's called a full moon. Because, you know, it's a little above the earth, so it goes like this and then bounces back, you get a full moon. If it is over here, then the sunlight hits the moon, this part bounces over there. But this part bounces to the earth, and we see half the moon. That's a half moon. If you look at over here, the sunlight goes to the moon, half of it bounces the wrong direction, half of it bounces towards the earth, and that's also a half moon. And as you can imagine, in between is all the things. If the moon is here, the sunlight bounces off the moon, and it all bounces right back to the sun. None of it bounces to the earth. This is, you can't see it at all. That's what's called a new moon. In Hebrew, this is called a molad, right? New is molad, right? If you're new, you're reborn, right? A born-again moon, that is the moment of the molad. How can you tell when the molad is? Right? You can't see, meaning you're not going to be able to actually see the moon for a while around the molad. Because it's just going to be very small, like technically, theoretically, if it's a little off, a tiny sliver will bounce off, but you can't actually see the moon for a whole day around the molad. The Gemara said Rosh Hashanah. How do they know the exact moment of the molad down to the second? How do they ever figure out down to the second when the molad is and how long the lunar month is? So the answer is very clever. I mean, we have all this in the books of Ptolemy, but even before that, there's something called an eclipse. There's something called an eclipse. And there are two types of eclipses. What does an eclipse mean? Usually, the moon is a little higher off the board or deeper behind the board, right? It's not in a straight line. The moon is like, here's the sun, here's the earth, and the moon is here. So it bounces back. Or here's the sun, here's the earth, and the moon is here. But sometimes, the moon and the sun are, I can't draw three-dimensionally. So what I'm trying to say is that usually the moon is an inch closer to you than the board or an inch further to you behind the board. Sometimes it's an exact line, not just in this, they're all an exact line. The moon and the earth and the sun are all on the board. Nothing's behind the board or in front of the board. That's called an eclipse, because if you can imagine, if they're lined up and they're not in front of the board or behind the board, then, I mean, if it's a half moon, nothing happens. But if it's a full moon, and they're exactly lined up, then the earth blocks the sunlight from hitting the moon. And then you don't see the moon at all. The moon disappears at the full moon. That's called a lunar eclipse. The moon disappears. Right? The moon disappears when there's a full moon, and it's exactly aligned, not further front, not further back. Then the sunlight gets blocked by the earth and can't hit the moon. That's a lunar eclipse. Can only happen at a full moon. Lunar eclipse can only happen at a full moon. But much cooler is, right, that doesn't make the newspapers. You don't get on your, from 8 WhatsApp contacts. Much cooler is, if in the new moon, the moon and the sun and the earth are exactly aligned, right? Meaning the moon's not out of the board, it's not behind the board. Then the moon blocks the light of the sun, which never hits the earth. The moon blocks the sun. You can't see the sun. when you can't see the sun, that's called a solar eclipse. And I'm sure, you know, every once in a while it happens, and we all get, oh, look at the solar eclipse, but don't really look, et cetera. A solar eclipse can only happen at a new moon. Just what does this mean? Lunar eclipse means the Earth blocks sunlight from reaching the moon. That's a lunar eclipse. A solar eclipse is that the moon blocks sunlight from reaching Earth, and that is a davar shel ma bekach, that if it happens in the middle of the day, obviously it's only significant if it happens in the middle of the day, it always happens in the middle of the day for either us or China, then you can't, the sun disappears in the middle of the day. That can only, now if you've ever seen a solar eclipse, it only lasts a second. And it happens at the exact moment of the new moon. So how do they know the exact moment of the new moon? When there's a solar eclipse, which there is every few decades, they know it's exactly the new moon. If someone writes down when there's a solar eclipse when he's a kid, down to the second. And then when he's an adult, he writes down another solar eclipse to a second. And then when he's an old man, he writes down another solar eclipse to a second. If 105 years later, or let's say better, if 1,296 months later, you write down the exact second of the lunar eclipse, then you just subtract the time between when you were a kid, there was a lunar eclipse, and when you're an old man, there was a lunar eclipse, divided by how many months have passed, and you know the exact length of the month down to a fraction of a second. That's what our ancestors did, or all the scientists did, of all the different nations in the old days. Our ancestors did it earlier than a lot of nations, and that's how they figured out in the old days exactly when the molad was, when the new moon was, and exactly how long it took between one new moon and the other, 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halakim, and even modern astronomy has barely improved on that.
One of the interesting points, or necessary points for this to happen, is that the angle that the Earth, the moon, and the sun, so 10 from the Earth, are both exactly half a degree, and that's why they can both block each other. Without that, it wouldn't work.
Right. Okay, yes?
How do they measure exact seconds?
How do they measure exact seconds is a great question. So you have to look it up on Wikipedia. But they had a way.
You don't have to. Once you average it over so many months, it doesn't have to be.
That's true. Is once you average it over 90 years...
Relative time, against what they were measuring... That
right, so I think they knew even in the old days how to measure absolute time, but I don't know how. That's not my topic now.
Why couldn't they take calculation exactly the time when the full moon is... between months, and then I calculate that interval.
You can't tell exactly when the full moon is. When the moon looks full, the moon looks full for hours to the naked eye. How do you know when it's exactly the fullest? You can't tell that with the naked eye.
With a telescope, you could.
Even with that, I mean, they didn't have telescopes. Even with the telescopes, I assume you probably need a telescope plus a computer program or something. Okay, anyway, Viker. Now, it's not so pushy to see. Now, okay, this was really a tangent. This is just telling you how Chazal knew their astronomy. It's not actually telling you what the rules of the calendar are.
So what you measured was the exact moment of the beginning of the eclipse, meaning the beginning of the totality? Because the lunar eclipse also lasts a number of minutes. It's not.
Okay, they probably measured the middle of the totality, right? And that's how they got the molad. Now, how about a year? How long is a year? So a year is a lot harder to measure, as you can imagine, because there's no eclipses or anything to help you tell the year. Like, how do you know when a year has passed? Well, when there's exactly 12 hours between sunrise and sunset, which is maybe not exact because the light bends a little, whatever, you know, when there's 12 hours between sunrise and sunset, you know it's exactly like March 21st, whatever. If you wait another 12 years, that happens again, you know again. But it's very hard to know exactly, to pin that down to a second. Like, there's no second you can pin down the moment of spring or the moment of winter or the moment of fall, like, or the solstice even, the shortest day of the year. We can all, everyone could track the shortest day of the year. Just use a sand clock or something and measure all the days, shortest day of the year. But that's hard to get the exact measure of the year from that because you don't know what hour and what day the year changes. So it was very hard in the old days to figure out how long a year was. There were no tricks for figuring out how long a year was. In the old days, they figured out different theories about how long a year was, but everyone knows that it is approximately 365 and a quarter days, right? That's what's called the Julian calendar. We're not going to get to Julian and Gregorian today. Let's just assume it's approximately 365 and a quarter days. Now, let's see what Chazal did with this information. So first, they have to figure out how to make leap months, right? So we know from the Gemara, how did they make leap months in the old days? Well, they figured out the Aviv and the Tekufa, etc. Okay, that wasn't gonna make a fixed calendar. So what did they do? So they figured out very simply, if you take one month equals 29 days, 12 hours and 793 halakim. 12 months, just multiply that by 12, and you get 354 days, 8 hours, and 876 halakim. As you can imagine, that means that it's shorter than the solar year, 365 and a quarter, right? So if you take, how much do you lose? 365 and 6 hours minus 354 and 8 hours and 876 halakim, that means every year we lose 10 days and 21 hours and 204 halakim, right? That's, if you subtract it, that's what you get, I hope. What did they figure out? How do you make that up in a cycle? So they kept trying different numbers until they could figure out a cycle. And they figured out that that would work out if you multiply by 19, right? In 19 years, you lose, just multiply by 19. What do you get when you multiply by 19? Oh, I shouldn't have got myself into this situation. But you get 190 hours. 19 times 21 is 399 hours. And 19 times 204?
3,876.
What?
3,876.
3,876 halakim. Now, if you just what is 386 halakim? That's really 3 hours. 3 hours and what's 3,876 minus 3,240? 636 halakim. 399 is really how many divided by 24? What's 399 divided by 24? Help me out here.
16.625.
16, and 16 times 24 is? 384, so that's 15 hours. So what you really get is 216 days, 18 hours, and 636 halakim. They realize that if you equals 7 months, that after 19 years you lose 7 months. How do they know? Because what's a month? A month is 29, 12, 793. Right? Again, this approximate. Help me out here. Times 7 equals, what's 29 times 7? 29 times 7 is 203. What's 12 times 7? No, 29 times 7 is 203. Yes. 206. That was my mistake. What's 12 times 7? Is 84. What's 793 times 7?
5551.
What? 5551. So 5551 is about 5 hours. And 151 halakim, 84 is 4 days, and 12 hours. So you get 207 and 17 hours.
Three days.
Thank you. That was it. Exactly. So what you get is, see, I'm not so good at math, but it works out 206 and 17. And 151 halakim, which is, since we're approximating, compared to 206, 18 hours, 636 halakim is good enough for an approximation. I said this is an approximation. We're not sure how long the solar year is. So basically, that's how they figured it out. They figured it out that, I mean, they had a more accurate solar year, But they figured out that if you just look how much we lose in 19 solar years, it works out to exactly 7 months. So just add 7 months every 19 solar years and you're set. And what they did was they just took the calendar and they said, like, you lose 10 days and 21 hours every month. So they said, well, after 1 year, you only lost 10 hours. After 2 years, 10 days. After 2 years, you lost 21 and a half days. After 3 years, you'd have lost more than a month. So make a leap month. And they just went through. And what did they get in the end? They got what we call Gimel, Vav, Ches, Aleph, Daled, Zion tests, which means the leap years are 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, and 19. Okay. If you work that out, how did they pick these seven? So I'll show you approximately how they picked these seven, and then we're ready to go on to the next thing. How did they pick these seven? So if you think about it, let's say, how much have you lost? After 1 year, you've lost about 10 days and 21 hours. After 2 years, you've lost 21 days and 18 hours. After 3 years, you've lost, you've lost 32 days and 15 hours. You lost a month. You can't be off by a month. So we have to add a month, right? Which is 29 days and, I'm not putting the halak in here, so, and 12 and a half hours. So really, we say, nah, I only lost 3 and 3. Which means in year 4, now I add 10, 21, I've lost about 14 days. In year 5, I've lost about 24 days and 21 hours. And you see, in year 6, I will already have lost 35 days and 18 hours. Whoa, that's crazy. I can't lose that much. I have to take out another year, and I get 6 days and, let's say, 5 hours, right? Because I'm putting in the some halakha. And if you would continue in that pattern, I'm not going to do it now because you can imagine. I'll just show you one more. After 7 years, I've now lost 17 days and 2 hours. So after 8 years, I've already lost 28 days and 23 hours. Basically, I've lost too much. It really turns out to 29 days. We add all the halakim, and therefore I make that a leap year, and you get the basic point. And we continue. Okay, so that's our calendar now. And that's why 8 is a leap year. Because it's too much that I've already lost.
It's only 1 year in between?
Yes. Sometimes it's only 1 year in between. 7/19 is more often than 1 every 3 years. Okay.
It's either two or three.
No, either two or three counting the leap year. Okay. Now, someone take a... I could have done this a little more accurately, right? Because I could have added these halakim and you got another hour there. So it's really 29. Okay, close enough. Let's say approximately 29 days. And that is, if I would have done it a little more accurately, you would see I was very close to a month. And that's why we add a leap year. Okay, now, someone take a picture of this board, whoever's in charge, and now we're ready to fix the calendar. Okay. Now, we know, no one's in charge? Okay. Now we know whether something's a leap year or not. Right? Now we know whether something's a leap year or not. We have a 19-year cycle. Obviously, we didn't have the cycle since Bria Sa'olam, but we traced the cycle back to Bria Sa'olam, meaning they started it on an even number of 19s of Bria Sa'olam. For example, 5776 this year is just 304 19s. So this is the last year of the cycle. So starting next year, we'll start a cycle again. Now that we know how many months in the year, right? So how many months in year is very easy. 5776 was 13. Next year, it's going to be, right, 12, 12, the third year of the cycle, 12, 12, the sixth year of the cycle, 12, the eighth year of the cycle, etc. Now we just need to know how many days are in a month. So how many days are in a month? So Chazal decided to make the calendar in a way that everything is fixed except for Cheshvan and Kislev. Why did they decide to do that? They had to pick some months to be variable because you don't want all the months to be variable. If all the months are variable, then it's too hard to keep track of. So you want only one or two months to be. You need 2 months to be variable to give yourself leeway. So they picked Cheshvan and Kislev to be variable, maybe because they didn't want anything leading up to Tishrei, and it was even far away from Pesach. So this is how they were covered the calendar. Days in months, and then that's it. All you need is those two things. Tishrei is 30. Cheshvan is 29 or 30. Kislev is 29 or 30. Teves is 29. Shvat is 30. If there's an Adar Aleph, it's always 30. Adar or Adar Bet is 29. Nisan is 30. Iyar is 29. Sivan is 30. Tammuz, Av, and Elul are 29, 30, and 29. Now, among Cheshvan and Kislev, they can't each be 29 or 30 randomly, because you understand, there's a real thing, there's a default and there's a change. The default, of course, Cheshvan should be 29, and Kislev should be 30. Or you could change it. But we never make Cheshvan 30 and Kislev 29, that's silly. Just make Cheshvan 29 and Kislev 30. So there are three kinds of years. What are the three kinds of years? There's a year called Chaser, right? Chaserim. There's a year called Kisidron, the order. And there's a year called Shleimim. Cheshvan, Kislev. Chaserim means they're both 29. We need to subtract a day. Kisidron means 29 and then 30, which is the normal order, right? And Shleimim means we need to add a day, they're both 30. So there are three lengths of years. Therefore, how long can a year be? Right, days in a month, months in a year. So how long can a year be? So there are six lengths for a year. There's Shana Pshuta. If it's Ches, then Kaf and Shin. A Shana Pshuta is 12 times 29 and a half. Is 12 times 29 and a half, right? It comes out to 354. If it's Chaser, it's 353. If it's Kisidron, it's 354. If it's Shalim, it's 355. How about a Shana Mu'uberes? You just add 30, right? So it's either 383, 384, or 385. This year happens to be a leap year, which is Shalim. Therefore, it's 385 days long. What's interesting about the number 385 is that it's divisible by 7. 7 times 53. 7 times 55. So, this is the only kind of leap that's divisible by 7, meaning Rosh Hashanah will be the same day next year as it was this year, because the year is just 55 weeks long. Last Rosh Hashanah was Sunday night Monday. Next Rosh Hashanah will also be Sunday night Monday. Only a leap year that's Shalim, you can have Rosh Hashanah the same twice in a row. Remember once we had twice in a row Rosh Hashanah, 3-day Rosh Hashanah? In between them was a leap year that was Shalim. So far sounds good, so good. But how do we know every year? Now, okay, before we get to that, sorry. you see here that there's a relationship between the days of the week of all the Chagim. Basically, there's variation in Cheshvan Kislev, right? When Hanukkah starts is sort of random. Start any day of the week but Tuesday, for a reason I'm not going to explain now. There's a little variation between Shvat and Adar, because you could throw in an extra month or not. But remember, Purim's always an Adar Bet. From Purim through Simchas Torah, there's no flexibility, right? It's a fixed number. From Purim to Pesach, from Pesach to Shavuos, from Shavuos to Tishva, from Tishva to Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur to Sukkot, there's no flexibility. It's a fixed number of days. There's only flexibility between Simchas Torah and Purim, right? How many days in Cheshvan Kislev and how many months? Which is why, if you know what day any of the Chagim is, between Purim and Simchas Torah, meaning between Purim, Tavshanayin Vav, and Simchas Torah, Tavshanayin Zayin, then you know when they all fall out. This is the famous Atbash, right? How does the Atbash work? Right? Atbash gar dak hats vap. Well, they sort of ruined it. But za, meaning the day of Pesach is the same as what chag. The first day of Pesach is always the same as Tisha B'Av. The following Tisha B'Av. Because if you work it out, there's no flexibility between Nisan and Av. And there's exactly, between Pesach and Tisha B'Av, exactly some multiple of seven, even number of weeks. The second day of Pesach is the same as Shavuot. That's easy to tell, right? The second day of Pesach was Sunday this year. And Shavuot, I mean, we know, in the second day of Pesach, exactly 7 weeks later, Shavuot, that's a no-brainer. That's before Shavuot Chumash. Am I right? No Chacham could ever affect this one. It says in the Chumash, you got to count 7 days regardless of your calendar. It doesn't have to be Vav Sivan, but it has to be. The third day of Pesach is the same as the following Rosh Hashanah. So, for example, if the third day of Pesach this year was a Monday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, we know Rosh Hashanah is going to be Monday. It is. Look in the calendar. You'll see Rosh Hashanah is going to be Monday. The fourth day of Pesach is the same as Simchas Torah, Kriya Satorah, Simchas Torah B'Chutz La'aretz. Right? This demonic was made in Chutz La'aretz because, so for example, the fourth day of Pesach was Tuesday, Simchas Torah Chutz La'aretz would be Tuesday. It's easy. It's always one day later than Rosh Hashanah. The fifth day of Pesach is the same as Tzom, mean as Yom Kippur, right? So the fifth day of Pesach this year was Wednesday, Yom Kippur is going to be a Wednesday. The sixth day of Pesach is the same as the previous Purim, meaning the sixth day of Pesach this year was Thursday. Doesn't mean next Purim will be Thursday, because between Pesach and next Purim, a lot will change. It means the previous Purim was Thursday, because the previous Purim is always exactly 30 days earlier than Pesach. And the previous one was Thursday, talking about people like me, not people of the privilege to be like most of you. And this is something that was an Einfall that was ruined. They never finished the Atbash, but Pesach is 7 days in Darius. Attain up the eighth day, okay, to say the other Shin Shogolius. You have to finish at least the Atbash the seventh day. The seventh day of Pesach is the same as Yom Ha'atzma'ot with an ayin, except for the fact that that was before they moved Yom Ha'atzma'ot, so it shouldn't be near Shabbos, and so it's the same day as Heiyar. For example, the seventh day of Pesach was Friday this year, right? The last day of Pesach for Israelis was Friday. And Heiyar was Friday, right? Meaning, the problem is that the Zionists, they moved it to Thursday, so really it still only works for the Satmars. The Satmars said Tachlin on Friday for Heiyar, and the Rabbar Lechassidim fasted on Friday for Heiyar. So, for the anti-Zionists who commemorate Yom Ha'atzma'ot, this mnemonic still works, meaning you say Tachlin. Satmars usually don't say Tachlin on Friday because it's close to Shabbos, but they did this year on Heiyar, and the Rabbar Lechassidim Meisharim had Sak Ve'efer and had a Tainus lean by Echal on Friday. So, for those who hold the original Yom Ha'atzma'ot, this mnemonic still works, but the sort of mnemonic is not such a great mnemonic, because if you really hold from Yom Ha'atzma'ot, then you hold from Rabbanan and you change it. So it only works for anti-Yom Ha'atzma'ot. Okay, those who want to fast and have your sak ve'efer on Yom Ha'atzma'ot should know this mnemonic. Those who want to have a party in Yom Ha'atzma'ot, they ruined it for us. Okay, but in the original days of the state, it still worked. Now, all we have to figure out now is, so how do we decide? We know how to decide how many months are in the year. You just count how many 19-year cycles there have been since Bria Olam. You say, well, 5776 divided by 19 is 304, so it's the end of a 19-year cycle. 5777, Tavshanayin Vav starts a new 19-year cycle. But how do you know what to do with Cheshvan? So you know whether there's another Rav. How do you know what to do with Cheshvan and Kislev? So this, the whole calendar, this is the half of the calendar. So far has been the Pashut part. How do you know what to do with Cheshvan and Kislev? It only depends on one molad. Our whole calendar is determined by the molad of Tishrei, right, of Rosh Hashanah. It all depends on the molad of Rosh Hashanah. But you know what? Before I say that, let me just teach you how they express the year. How do people who want to learn about the Luach, or make Luchos, if you even look, you look in what's called Luach Eretz Yisrael, in the beginning where he says, this is a year, you know what it says about this year? It says, this year is a Bashaz year. This year is a Bashaz year. And if you buy in the summer, you'll buy next year's Luach, it'll tell you it's a Bichag year. Okay, Bichag sounds good. Oh, the whole year is a big Chag. But why is this year a Bashaz? And after that, it'll be a Hachaz year. What do these things mean? The minhag is that we express the year using three letters. How do we express the year using three letters? That this year is, what did I say, Bashaz? Rosh Hashanah was on Monday. Shalem, Cheshvan, and Kislev. And Pesach, as we recall, was on Shabbos. Next year is going to be a Bechag year. Rosh Hashanah will be on Monday. Rosh Hashanah on Monday, Pesach on Shabbos. It'll be Chaser. And Pesach will be on Tuesday, meaning next Pesach will be on Tuesday. And after that will be a Hachaz year, meaning Rosh Hashanah will be on Thursday. It'll be a 3-day Rosh Hashanah. Get ready. Not this fall. This fall is Bechag. Next fall 2017, you will have a 3-day Rosh Hashanah, but only once in a row. Don't worry, you won't have another one after that. It will be a Kesidron year. And Pesach will be on Shabbos again. The link between each year and the next is, if you remember, from Pesach to Rosh Hashanah, there's no flexibility. From Pesach to Rosh Hashanah is exactly 162, no, is exactly, from Pesach to Rosh Hashanah is exactly 163 days. 163 days is 13 weeks plus, no, 23 weeks plus 2 days. From Pesach to Rosh Hashanah is exactly 2 days. That's why the third day of Pesach is the same as next Rosh Hashanah. So if you think about it, from Pesach to Rosh Hashanah, just add up. You know, there's 15 days left in Nisan and 29 in Iyar and 30 in Sivan and 29 in Tammuz and 39 and 29 in Elul. You just add those up, you get 163. Take out 161, which is 23 weeks, you get 2 days. And you see how every year you add 2 days and you start the next year. Right? If this year Pesach was on Shabbos, next year Rosh Hashanah has to be Monday. There's no flexibility. If next year Pesach is going to be on Tuesday, next year Rosh Hashanah has to be Thursday, and a 3-day Yom Tov, there's no flexibility. And now we know the year after, since Pesach is on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah is going to be Monday again. In fact, it is, because the year after is going to be another Bishaz. Another Bishaz. So that's how it works. There's always 2 days from the Pesach of this year to the Rosh Hashanah of next year. Now, how many types of years can they be? I apologize. Whoever's taking the board, I'm going to need a lot of boards just because of the nature of these. How many types of years can there be? So let's think about it, please. I apologize. There are only 14 types of years there can be. 7 regular years and 7 leap years. Why do I say that? Just to be annoying. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. They're only, now this is what it means. You see this. You ever see the Luach Eretz Yisrael in the beginning? It says this. This is a Bashaz year. And what are the 13, why are there only 14 types of years? Well, how many options are there for the first letter? What? There are not 7 options for the first letter because Lo Adarosh, we know Rosh Hashanah can't be Sunday, Wednesday, or. So for example, we have a rule, Lo Adu Rosh. Why is Lo Adu Rosh? Remember, Lo Adu Rosh because then Yom Kippur would be on Friday, or Yom Kippur would be on Sunday. We don't want Shabbos and Yom Kippur in a row because then we can't bury the dead people in the old days before they had refrigerated morgues, and we couldn't like have food for Shabbos, at least in one case. And Rosh Hashanah can't be Aleph because then Hoshana Rabbah would be on Shabbos, and Rosh Hashanah Rabbah's on Shabbos, we can't shake the bundle of our rubbles. And that's the only day we do it, right? Then we never shake our rubbles, right? What we call Hoshanas. We never pick up Hoshanas, a bundle of 5 our rubbles. So therefore, they decided laws arose. The most important thing in the calendar is Shabbos and Yom Kippur shouldn't be 2 days in a row when you're not allowed to light a fire or carry things, and or bury dead people or etc. Even on the Akdom, and Rosh Hashanah shouldn't be on Shabbos. Now, hold on a second. According to this, when can Pesach not be? Pesach, last Pesach is always 2 days before Rosh Hashanah. So what is 2 days before Aleph? 2 days before Aleph is Vav. 2 days before Dalet is Bet. 2 days before Vav is Dalet. From where we get the rule of Lo, but do Pesach, as Rashi pointed out, Daf Yud Gimel, we don't care if Pesach is Badu. It doesn't hurt anything in Judaism for Pesach to be Badu. It doesn't share Pesach, it doesn't share Shavuos. We don't really care that Pesach not be Badu. Just since there's no flexibility between Adar and Tishrei, if Pesach was Badu, then next Rosh Hashanah would be Adu. So the only reason we have Lo Badu Pesach is because Rosh Hashanah shouldn't be Adu. And therefore, the options are, the options for the first one are either Bet, Gimel, Hey, or Zion. The options for the middle one are either Chet, Kaf, or Shin, right? And the options for the last one are either Aleph, Gimel, Hey, or Zion, which is Lo Badu. These are the options. Theoretically, you'd say that is
4 times 3 times 4,
which is 48 possible years. Theoretically, you might say there is 48 possible years, but they're not all possible for reasons that I'll explain in a moment. So let's keep this in mind, right? Meaning, Lo Adu Rosh, Lo Badu Pesach. So it's 4 choices for Rosh Hashanah, 3 choices for the length of the year of Cheshvan Kislev, and 4 choices for Pesach. But you can't have all these combinations, right? Because if you know any two of them, that fixes the third, right? For example, if we know that Rosh Hashanah is on Beis, and the Cheshvan Kislev have 30 days this year, then we know when Pesach is going to be, right? Let's say this year. We know Rosh Hashanah was on Beis. We know Cheshvan Kislev had 30 days. We know it was a leap year. So then just count. And Pesach has to be on Shabbos. There's no choice. So let me illustrate that. What?
I need to write it that way.
Yeah. Take it again, please, Michael. Just stand right in the middle. And I apologize if I hope you're either taking notes or just have it down in your head, because I'm going to have to erase some things that are still relevant. But, Eima Lasot. Now, let's see how little I can erase. What are the different ways a year can be? Because remember, we know how long a year is, right? 353, 354. So let's see in a Shana Pshuta. Shana Pshuta. What's a Shana Pshuta? Shana Pshuta is, right, a regular year. In a Shana Pshuta, what is the length from Rosh Hashanah to Pesach? From Rosh Hashanah to Pesach in a Shana Pshuta is 6 months, which is 177, plus another 14 to get to Tesvav Nisan, is 191, right? I hope. So what is the length between Rosh Hashanah and Pesach? If it's Kisidron, it's, I hope, 191. What's 191? Meaning, we don't care about how many weeks, right? So take out the 27 weeks, right? 27 weeks is 189. So it's 2 days in the week, right? It's 2 days later. Pesach is 2 days in the week. It's 191 days later, but that is 27 weeks plus 2 days. If it's chaser, it's 1 day later. If it's shalem, it's 3 days later. So now in the Shana Pshuta, let's think about what days we can have, right? What are all the possible combinations? You could have Rosh Hashanah be Beis, or Gimel, or Hay, or Zion. And the year could be Beis, it could be Beis Chaser, Beis Kisidron, Beis Shalim, right? Gimel Chaser, Gimel Kisidron, Gimel Shalim. Hey Chaser, Hey Kisidron, Hey Shalim, Zion Chaser, Zion Kisidron, and Zion Shalim. Right? Now, when would Pesach be? So now we know when Pesach would be. Beis plus Chaser means you add one, Pesach is Gimel. Beis plus Kesidron, Pesach is Dalet. Beis plus Shalim, Pesach is Hay. Are these all possible? No, because Lopal du Pesach, right? You have to cross this one out, because Pesach can't be Dalet. Okay, Gimel. Gimel plus Chaser gives you Dalet. Gimel plus Kesidron gives you Hay. Gimel plus Shalim gives you Vav. Hold on, we got to cross some of these out. Lovad du Pesach. Can't have this year, meaning they would just never make this that kind of year. Hey plus Chaser gives you Vav. Hey plus Kesidron gives you Zion. Hey plus Shalom gives you Aleph. You have to cross out this one. Zion plus Chaser gives you Aleph. Plus Kesidron gives you Beis. Plus Shalom gives you Gimel. You have to cross out this one. How many possible non-leap Shana Pshutos are there? We crossed out 5, we're left with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are 7 kinds of Shana Pshutos. There are only 7 ways a Shana Pshuta can be. It can be Bechag, Besha, Gecha, Hachaz, Hasha, Zecha, or Zashag. Those are the only kinds of Shana Pshutos we can have. How about a Shana Meuberes, on the other hand? A Shana Meuberes, on the other hand, what is the length between Rosh Hashanah and Pesach? If you think about it, in Hashanah Muveris we add 30 days. 30 days is 4 weeks and 2 days. Just add 2 days, right? So if it's Kesidron, then it's 4 days later. If it's Chaser, it's 3 days later. And if it's Shalem, it's 5 days later. Right? Because you just add an extra 30 days, which is, forget the 4 weeks, you added 2 days. So now we can figure out all the possible Shanim Uvaros. What are all the possible Shanim Uvaros? So let's start the same way. Becha. Right? We have to start with all the possible combinations. That's supposed to be a Chaf. Now, what does it turn out to be?
Hey.
Well, Beis plus Ches
hey.
Is Hey. Vav, Zion. Have to cross out this one. Gimel plus Chaser turns out to be Vav. Got to cross out this one. Hey plus Chaser turns out to be Hey, Vav, Zion, Aleph. Right? Hey plus 3 days to Hey, Vav, Zion, Aleph. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and got to cross out this one. Zion plus Chaser is Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Got to cross out this one. We now crossed out 4. We're left with 8 possible leap years, except that that's not true. One of these leap years gets passed for a reason that we don't yet understand, which is Gesha. Right? Impossible. For a reason we don't yet understand, right? You're taking my word for it for the next few minutes, right? So really, there are 7 types of Shanim Pshutos, and we understand why. And there are 7 types of Shanim Uvaros. We understand why there can't be more than 8. But one of them is impossible for reasons that I will explain in a few minutes. Okay, so I owe you why you can't have a Gesha year. Because out the days of the week, it should work fine. There must be a different reason you can't have a year that's Gesha. Okay, these are the 14 types. So basically, there are 14 types of year. You just tell someone it's a leap year or a non-leap year, and what the 3-letter code is. As a matter of fact, if you tell the 3-letter code, you don't even need to say whether it's a leap year or a non-leap year, because there's no code that appears on both sides. Is there? I wonder. Is there a year that appears? Is there a code that appears on both sides? No, there can't be a year that code that appears on both sides, obviously. So, this tells you what the year is. Like, if you want to know, like, what parsha we lay in every week, and which parshas are mixed, and which parshas are combined, and which parshas are separated, and what day of the week every chag falls out on, and what parsha we're mevarch the chodesh of everything, there's only 14 possible calendars. If you just made yourself a calendar of every day of the year, what the laning is, and what the chag is, and what the day of the week is, 14 such calendars, there are only 14 kinds of years. And all you have to know is, what's this year? And you look on the calendar, and you know what it is. When Torah Tidbits does that thing and says, well, Matos, Masa, you're combined 86.89% of the time. What do? They basically have their 14 calendars. And they see which calendars is combined, which calendar is separate, and they just know how common each of these 14 are. Now, that's very hard. There's no mathematical formula for figuring out how common each of these 14 are. Like, the math is too hard. What they just do is they have a computer run a simulation for the next 10,000 years, and then count how many of each of these 14 comes, and they figure that's the odds. Really, you'd have to, like, if you ran the simulation for, like, over 30,000, you might actually get a mathematically accurate answer.
Why wouldn't it work in the cycle?
In what? It has a cycle, but the cycle is like 32,668 years or something. Because of reasons I'll tell you in a second. Now we know the types of years, but we still don't know how to tell which type is which. Like I told you, this year is a Bishaz year. You don't have to take my word for it, because you remember Rosh Hashanah being on Monday, you remember Cheshvan and Kislev being 30 days, and if you don't, you can look in your calendar, and you remember Pesach being on Shabbos, that we all remember. And I told you next year is a Bechag year, and you don't have to take my word for it, you can look at the calendar for next year. But when I tell you that that 2021 to 2022, Tavshin Pei Beis, is a Gechaz year, Rosh Hashanah on Tuesday, and it's Rosh Hashanah on Tuesday, and it's a leap year Gechaz, Rosh Hashanah on Tuesday, Kisidron, and Pesach on Shabbos, then how do I know that? So the answer might be that I just Googled, future, calendar years, and I found a website that told me. But how did they know that? Or I didn't realize that, I just looked at a book that has like a page with the next 1,000 years. But how did he know that? So here it comes down to the molad. Now, the principle of the calendar is everything is determined by molad Tishrei. And our luach kavua that the Chazal made, we don't care about the molad of any month but Tishrei. We only care about the molad of Tishrei. Now, I know in shul they announce the molad, ironically enough, of every month but Tishrei, right? In Baruch Nachodesh. That's just so we'll understand there's such a thing as a moon and it's not just a calendar someone made. But halachically, we don't take into account the molad of anything but Tishrei in our fixed calendar. What? For Kiddush Levana, we do take into account the molad because we want the moon to still be waxing. But for the calendar, we don't, and even Kiddush Levana, it's about locus. For the calendar, we only take into account the molad of Tishrei. Why don't they announce it on Tishrei is a great question, meaning we don't mivarch in Kodesh at all on Tishrei. We don't do the whole mivarch in Kodesh al Tishrei. Why don't we do mivarch in Kodesh al Tishrei? Some people say that it's because everyone knows the Rosh Hashanah is anyway, so you don't have to announce it. Some people say you want to fool the Satan so that he won't know when to be prepared. Although, many of you say the Satan's not so stupid, and things are deeper than that. Like, I know we blow the shofar twice to fool the Satan. A lot of Rishonim write. It's not that the Satan is so stupid. It really means something deeper. And it really doesn't mean fool the Satan. It really means to overpower the Satan with our ruchnis. And some people say that it is because the pasuk says Bakesa liyom chageinu, which we darshin, you have to be mechase the chodesh, so you shouldn't announce it. It's a special kiyum to keep it secret. Why is it not keep it secret? Keep it covered. Why is that? That's also LP philosophy and ruchnis. But a calendar only cares about the molad of Tishrei. How do we know when the molad of Tishrei is? So it's very simple. We use what's called the... How do you know the molad of Tishrei? Like, for example, right? It only depends on molad Tishrei, right? So that's what we said. That depends only on molad Tishrei. The whole calendar depends on two things. The 19-year cycle tells you whether you have 13 months or 12 months, and the molad of Tishrei tells you whether you have Kisidron, Chaser, or Shalim. How do we know the molad of Tishrei? So the answer is no problem, because we know how long a month is, 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halakim. Okay, all we have to do is go back to the starting point when we knew exactly when the new moon is, and add 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 halakim for every month that passed since then. And we know when the molad of this Tishrei is. What starting point do we use? We could use in the 370s, I think, when they had a solar eclipse, and they knew when the starting point was. As a matter of fact, even better, we could have used the day, according to our minhag, this is a machlokas, where the world was created in Nisan, or Tishrei, and I know that when we do Birkas Hacham, we hold differently, not for now. According to our minhag, Adam, or when Adam or Rishon started to be created, That's when Hashem started the system going with the Molad, and that was on Friday and 14 hours. Oh, by the way, I should point out, what do I mean when we say the Molad? Let's just say, when was the Molad Tishrei? You want to do last year? Yeah, when was last Molad Tishrei? When was last Molad Tishrei? Ooh, I thought I would have written it down someplace. Yes. Molad Tishrei Tufshin Ayin Vav means, how do we say it? Sunday, Yom Aleph, 23 hours, and 135 halakim. What does that mean? You ever notice when they say shul? As a matter of fact, what did they say funny this month for Molad Iyar? They said something very funny. Molad Iyar Haya. Shabbos 4-1079. What does it mean? The day of the week is the halachic day of the week, more or less. The hour is, this is what they call Sha'on Eretz Yisrael. There are still some people who are very against Western civilization who like to announce things using this kind of clock so that we shouldn't use the Western time. Now, it's not even Tsiganish time. The British mandate also used this time. But they don't like to use Western time at all, so it's not so common because it's all the Western, meaning if the British mandate used this time, it can't be so bad. But the in some place in Mea Shearim, I don't know if you remember if it was the Rav Aril or the Shomer Aminim, they actually, when they post things, they try to put Shon Eretz Yisrael in this time just to show our traditional time. Now, what does this mean? This means one day, 23 hours into the day. What does 23 hours into the day mean? It means from 6 p.m. The average day starts at 6 p.m. and ends at 6 p.m., right? I know, in the winter, the day starts at 5, and at 4:30, and in the p.m., with a halachic day. And in the summer, it starts at 7:30, right? Last night, it started at 7:30 or 7:40 or 8 or whatever the shita is, right? But for this purpose, every day starts at 6 p.m. and ends at 6 p.m. Otherwise, you can't do calculations, right? It's the average halachic day. But it's not a secular day starting at midnight. It's not what they 23 o'clock by the Europeans and Israelis means 11 p.m. No. What this means is, it means the halachic Yom Aleph, 6 p.m. plus 23 hours, which means that it's Sunday, 5 p.m. plus 135/10/80. If you worked it out, that's, I don't know, probably around 5 p.m. and however many minutes, right? What's 135 out of 180 times 60? 12 what? 12. Well, it's 7. It's about 7 minutes. About 5:07. What?
7 and a half.
Yeah, 5:07 and a half. 5:07. 30 seconds. That's what it means. So when we said the molad of Iyar Tafshin Ayin Vav, say molad Iyar when we bench Rosh Chodesh. Haya, why was it Haya? Because it was Shabbos, 4 hours, and 1079 Halakim. Well, almost the next hour. What does that mean? That means that, what does it mean Shabbos, 4 hours? It means the Halakhic Shabbos, but starting at 6 p.m., not starting at Seisuk HaKavim. So that means that. It means Friday night, 10 p.m., and basically 10:59 and 57 seconds. P.M., almost 11 p.m., right? That's what it means. Now, at the risk of confusing people even more, this still would not match our clocks because we moved our clocks when they invented time zones. If you had lived in Israel 300 years ago, this would have been what it said on your clock. But then what happened is the world used to be a big place. I lost 3 hours when I went from New York to Los Angeles. That didn't used to be a problem because it took me 4 weeks to go from New York to Los Angeles. So if I lost 3 hours, it was no big deal. I lost 7 hours when I went from New York to Eretz Yisrael. But it took me 2 months to get from New York to Eretz Yisrael, so no one noticed losing 7 hours. Once they started with railroads, and yet your schedule, when the train left New York, when it arrived at Los Angeles, not to mention nowadays with planes and with modern communication, you call people on the telephone, all of a sudden they had to know what time it was everywhere else. So what's the problem? How did everywhere make their time? They looked up. When the sun was straight ahead, they called it 12 noon. Now it's tricky because the day is not the same length every time of the year, but they worked it out. What the problem? The problem is There used to be, every village was its own time zone, because when the sun's straight above me, I call it 12 noon. If you live 10 miles that way, when the sun's straight above you, you call it 12 noon. If you leave 100 miles that way, when the sun's straight above you, you call it 12 noon. Every place in the world had a different time. Even if they knew how to subtract the time differences, how do you make railroad timetables if every shtetl has its own clock? So they said, that's it, we're putting our foot down, there's only 24 clocks allowed. And they made time zones. Said everyone has to move their clock up to a half hour one way or a half hour the other way to align themselves with our time zones. Basically, if you lived in Greenwich, since they used to own the world at that time, they didn't have to move their clocks. If you lived exactly 30 degrees, no, exactly 15 degrees from Greenwich, or 30 degrees, that's an even number of hours, you don't have to move your clock. But since we live 35.8 degrees from Greenwich, 30 degrees is 2 hours. That's where we're 2 hours off. But we weren't 2 hours off. We were 2 hours and 21 minutes off. Our clocks were 2 hours and 21 minutes off from Greenwich, England, because we were 35.8 degrees longitude east, which is 2 hours and 21 minutes, right? So when their clock said noon, our clock said 2:21 p.m. But then they went to time zones and said, no, everyone has to line up to the nearest hour. All you guys in Israel or in Yerushalayim, because it may have been that in some cities it was 22 minutes, some cities 20 minutes. Everyone in Yerushalayim, move your clocks back 21 minutes. Now it's 2 o'clock. Now you have Jerusalem standard time, and you have the same time as Egypt and Russia and Moscow, at least, and everyone else in your time zone. That's what they did in time zones. They made everyone round off their clocks to the nearest hour from then on, so that everyone would only be 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, up to 23 hours off from everyone else. So basically, when they invented time zones, they forced everyone in Israel to move their clocks back 21 minutes. So you ever notice? If you want to know when Chatzos Hayom is in Israel, on the average, it's 11:39. Why? Because Chatzos Hayom should be defined as 12. But we moved our clock back 21 minutes. So that's why on the average is 11:39. Now, you want to know why Chatzos Hayom is not the same every day and how to understand what the Igros Moshe says about that, that's for another time. But what does that mean? That means that it's this time in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem local time, if they wouldn't have invented time zones. But if you want to know what it is on our watch, where we had to fit in with the British and then do a time zone, you would just look it up. Our longitude is 35 degrees and 0.8176 east. 30 degrees east is 2 hours. 5 point whatever is just divided by 15 degrees, and you get around a little more than a third of an hour, 21 minutes, which means that Jerusalem standard time, you just subtract 21 minutes, so you get 10:39 p.m. You know, make it even 11, 12, 10. And since we're on daylight savings time, were we on daylight savings time or Shabbat Shiva? Yeah, we sure were. Since we're on daylight savings time, it means you have to add it. We added an hour to the clocks, so it would really have been 11:39 p.m. Jerusalem daylight savings time. So if you want to know when the Molad really was for ER, 11, it was 10, almost 11 o'clock p.m. on our ancestors' clocks, which is 10:39 p.m. on our standard clocks, which is 11:39 p.m. on our daylight savings clocks. Now, just to be fair, that's not really when the Molad was, because the month is not the same length every month. Sometimes the month's a little longer, sometimes it's a little shorter because the moon wobbles a little. That's true, but that's not. Because the moon is like a little elliptical. Like the circle of the moon is not a circle. It's a little bit longer on one end and shorter on the other side. It's an ellipsis. So on the average, the molad, if we just use the averages, the molad of Iyar would have been, and that's why in Shul, we can't say the molad will be on Shabbos, we have to say the molad was.
That's the problem with Hutzlar. They always say it will be what it really was. It's an astronomical event, it's not a local event.
Right. Although it usually works out. Now, this is the Molad. Still, how do we know the Molad of Tishrei? So what did they figure out? They figured out that what they did was this. They looked in the 4th century when Hillel Nisiyah lived, and all the scientists told him, and he knew, our ancestors were also scientists. When it comes to astronomy, our ancestors were great scientists. I don't know every science, if we knew more than the guy. When it comes to astronomy, we were experts. It was something the Jews excelled in, because I'll mention this in a few places. So they could tell when the new moon was when they saw a solar eclipse. So they calculated back to Brias Olam, and they figured out that, really, if you just count the months back to Brias Olam, do all the cheshbon, which is very hard in those days before calculators, or before even long multiplication and division was invented, they figured out that, this corresponds to approximately, within a few seconds, Vav Yudalit. Friday Yudalit means 8 a.m. Friday morning when Hashem created Adam, that's when he started the system going. That's the year of creation. However, when did Hashem create Adam? No, what day in the calendar did Hashem create Adam? On Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, right? But he really started creating the world 5 days earlier, on Chafei Elul, which is one of the reasons why we start Slichos from at least Chafei Elul. So really, there was a previous year. So they decided to make the calculations. We want to count the year before Hashem created Adam, meaning the year that only had 5 days in it, like from day one through five of creation. That's called Shnas Tohu. Because beforehand it was Tohu Vavohu. So when is the Molad of Shnas Tohu? So they just subtract 12 months from that. And they figured the Molad of Shnas Tohu, year one in our calendar, when we say it's 5776, year one was not when Hashem created Adam HaRishon. That was year two. Year one was when Hashem created the light and the waters and the land and the, you know, all the things it says until then. Which means it was only started in Chafei Elul. But theoretically we calculate, right? You can theoretically calculate years that before the world was created, right? Theoretically, the Molad Tishrei of Shnas Tohu was Baharad. And that's the key. Let me erase something else here. How do we calculate Molad Tishrei? Very simple. Molad Tishrei of year one is Baharad. Monday, 5 hours, 204 Chalakim. And this is Shnas Tov. Molad Tishrei of year two, which is Brias Adam HaRishon, was Vid. Friday, 14 hours, meaning 8 a.m., right? 14 hours is 8 a.m. And if you look in the Midrash, you went to one day, and that's when Hashem started creating Adam HaRishon. And then he started all for Adam HaRishon, because of the Kaddish Shol Vazmanim. Okay, you get the point. Now, and if you would just add up, meaning, what are 12 molads worth? 12 molads are worth 50 weeks, plus 4 days, 8 hours, 876 halakim, plus 4 days, Monday becomes Friday, plus 8 hours, 5 becomes 13, plus 876 halakim makes 1080, makes another hour, 14. Okay, so now we could have said, let's count from year 2 of Molad Vid. But Mila, it makes more it's more mistaken for you to count to year 1. You tell them to count from year 2, they'll be confused. Or we could have said, start from the days of Hillel and Nisiyah. But we wanted to make it have to do with the rest of the Jewish calendar. Mela, if the rest of the Jewish calendar, we said our year is Tavshanayim Vav. We want to count also. So the rule is very simple. How do you know Molad Tishrei? You start with Molad Baharad and add 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 halakim for each month since then. Very simple, right? You want to know when is Molad Tishrei 5776? Well, just count. There's been 5775 years since Molad Baharad. Figure out how many were leap years, how many were non-leap years. Multiply that to how many months there were. Multiply that by 29, 12, 793. And you get the Molad Tishrei, Tavshanayim Vav. This sounds a little crazy to you, but even our ancestors, meaning Chazal, who didn't have calculators, who didn't even have long multiplication, right, because they didn't have a zero for another time, they figured out how to do it. It was just very hard, but they were very smart. And that's Yod Bin Elitim. That's why it was so hard. The Sota Iver was so hard to keep track of these things. It wasn't just secret information. It was you go before they invent long multiplication. I mean, it's not even placeholders, right? You can't write, in their days, you couldn't even write 105 and multiply it, because 105 was like CV, and there was nothing to keep the tens place, right? You go figure this out. And the answer is they figured it out, because they were very smart. And now, And they figured out shortcuts for doing it, right? Meaning every 19 years you could just know how much that is, and then every 190 years, and every 1900 years you can know. They worked out shortcuts. Kitzer, if you would work it out, you can go home, Yoma will work it out and tell me if I'm lying. It turns out that Tishrei of Tavshin Ayin Vav, what did we say it was? Aleph, 23 hours and 135 halakim. Tishrei of Tavshin Ayin Zayin. Now, how do you know how to figure out next year? So it's very simple. What can I erase? I can erase this. How do you know, once you know Tavshin Ayin Vav, you don't have to be as smart as Chazal. You could be a regular third grade education to figure it out. Because it's very simple. In a Shana Pshuta, you have 29, 12, 793 times 12. 12 months. What does that come out to be? 354 days. 8 hours. And 876 halakim. Now, the 354 you don't care about. Right? That's 350, sorry, is 50 weeks. So what do you just say? Equals 4 days, 8 hours, and 876 halakim. Right? Because all we care about is days of the week. The 350 are even. How about in a shanamu beres? So then it's 29, 12, 793. Times 13 equals, I wrote it down, 383, 21, 589. How much do we not care about here?
It doesn't take into the chaser.
No, I'm talking about molads. Molads, just molads. Molads astronomical. 378, right? No? What's divisible? 350 is divisible. That leaves you with 33, 28. That leaves you with 5, right? So equals 5, 21, 589. So now, you want to know next year's Molad Tishrei? If it's a leap year, just add 5, 21, 589. If it's a non-leap year, add 4, 8, 876. That's not so hard. We can all do it with pen and paper. So let's try to figure out next year's. Tavshin Ayin Zayin, this was a leap year, right? So we have to add 5, 21, 589. And what do we get? Add 5, we get like Friday. Add 21, we get like 20 hours into Shabbos. And add 589, and we get 724. So we get Shabbos 20, 724. Now, how do we want to know Tavshin Ayin Ches? So that's a 13 months, 12 months. That's a non-leap year, right? That's the first year of the cycle. So just add 4, 8, 8, 76, and you can see you get to like Wednesday, and then you get 2 hours into Thursday. You get 4 hours into Thursday, and then you get another hour, because 724 plus 876 is more than an hour. So you get Thursday, 5 hours, and 520 halakim. You want to know Tavshin Ayin Ches, that's another regular year. So you add 4, 8, 876, and what do you get? Days. Plus 8 is going to be 13, but there's going to be a remainder, so it's going to be 14. 520 plus 876 is 1396. 1080 becomes an hour, and you get 216. Hopefully that's what I have written down here. No, you get 316. Okay, but it was close enough. You know, if I had paper, I would have gotten it right. Okay, what?
Would it be Tuesday?
No. Add 4 days from Thursday, you get Monday. Add 8 hours, for 5 you get 13. Add the halakim and carry 1, you get 14. Now all we have to know is, my time is very short. I apologize. But now that we know the molad of Tishrei, all we have to figure out is how to make the year. The molad of Tishrei tells us when Rosh Hashanah is. It's that simple. The molad of Tishrei tells us when Rosh Hashanah is. For example, the molad of Tishrei this year was Sunday. Could Rosh Hashanah be Sunday?
No.
Lo Adarosh, so it's Monday. The Molad of Tishrei next year is Shabbos. Could Rosh Hashanah be Shabbos?
Yeah.
Yes, but it won't be. Because this is the key to the calendar. Until now, everything I've said has just been figuring out. This is just astronomy. There's no Judaism here, right? This is just figuring out when, on the average, because we can't take into account the ellipsis and the wobble of the moon, and when on the average the new moon of Tishrei will be. How do we go from Molad Tishrei to Rosh Hashanah? And the answer is we use four dechios. This is the key. The key is, by the way, let me just point out, now we can figure out why this is impossible. If the Molad was on Tuesday, that means the Molad last year was on Tuesday. All right, you know what? Let's wait till after the Arba Dechios. The rule is called the Arba Dechios. There's another way of saying Arba Sha'arim, but we'll do the Arba Dechios. Meaning, what is the rule is, Rosh Hashanah is at the Molad unless pushed off by a Dechia. There are four Dechias. Rosh Hashanah can never be before the Molad. Why would we make Rosh Hashanah before the new moon? But sometimes we can delay after the Molad. And if you think about it, in the time of our ancestors, Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah, they would never make Rosh Hashanah before the Molad because no one saw the moon. But it could be after the Molad. Who says they're going to see the moon right away? Sometimes it takes a long time to see the moon. So it takes a while for the moon to be big enough to see. And then if you have bad luck, when the moon is big enough to see it's daytime and the sun is out and you can't see it, it could take a while. So, basically, Rosh Hashanah is at the time of the Molad or later. What are the four dechios? One is Lo Adu Rosh. Lo Adu Rosh. Which year would have this dechia? This year has this dechia. Tavshanayin Vav was a dechia of Lo Adu Rosh. Would have been another one anyway, but it doesn't matter. All right. The second main dechia, there are two common and two rare dechios. Two common dechios and two rare dechios, is called Molad Zaken, an old Molad. Meaning, if the Molad is late in the day, you have to push it off. What does that mean? After 18 hours. If it's on or after 18 hours, which is 12 o'clock noon, again, using old-fashioned Jerusalem time. If it's in the afternoon, then it gets pushed off a day. What's the logic? Why would they push it off a day if it's in the afternoon?
Can't see it.
Because you can't see it in the first 6 hours. Our ancestors could never have seen the moon 6 hours after the Molad. Since they couldn't have seen the moon 6 hours after the Molad, we push it off to the next day. This is a famous problem. All these Shiva Bachers used to think that it takes 6 hours after the Molad till the moon moves enough to be visible. However, that's not true. It takes at least 18 hours after the Molad for the moon to be visible. Meaning, in the average, 18 hours after the Molad, the moon is visible. Of course, sometimes that might happen to be, you might happen to or be during daytime or after moon set, etc. But at least 18 hours for the moon to be visible. Right? After 18 hours, the moon is theoretically visible, generally. Whether it's really visible depends. If the sun's in the sky after 18 hours, obviously you can't see the moon, right? Or if where you are, the earth has turned, so you're facing away from the moon, you can't see the moon. But theoretically, meaning for a person on the side of the earth facing the moon, if there's no other light in the sky, you could see the moon around 18 hours after the Molad. So it's a little tricky. All these Shiva Bachurim think you could see the moon 6 hours after the Molad, and then it makes sense. Until 12 noon, you'll be able to see the moon that day. After 12 noon, you won't be able to see the moon until tomorrow. It's not true. It takes at least 18 hours. So there are different theories in the modern-day scientists, or the modern-day Lamdanim, why they made a rule of Molad Zaken 6 hours. I'll tell you two theories. No one knows why. Meaning we have Masorah. We don't have Masorah. Why? One theory is because really they wanted to make the Molad Zaken 18 hours. But if you assume, not like the Chazon Ish, like Rabbi Chiya Michal Tukhachinsky and Rome Poskim, the international dateline is how many hours away from Yerushalayim? 12 hours away from Yerushalayim, right, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Then a person 12 hours away from Yerushalayim will have Rosh Chodesh 12 hours longer than we do. So the person in Hawaii, I forget which side Hawaii is on, near Hawaii, has an extra 18 hours, has an extra 12 hours of Rosh Chodesh. Right? When we finish Rosh Chodesh, he finishes Rosh Chodesh 12 hours later in Hawaii. Yeah, I'm pretty sure in Hawaii, they finish Rosh Chodesh 12 hours later, if you make the dateline like Tukhachinsky. So one theory is, If it's before noon, then the moon can still be seen when it's Rosh Chodesh in Hawaii. So we make Rosh Hashanah that day. If it's afternoon, then even in Hawaii, they have 6 hours till sunset, plus another 12 hours of the earth turning. Even in Hawaii, they can't see it, so that's why we cut off the Molad Zaken at 6 hours. Another theory I saw is that our Molad is the average Molad. Sometimes really earlier, sometimes later. The Molad could really be up to around 12 hours earlier than what we calculate. It's random. I mean, it's not random, it's very complicated math. And therefore, since the Molad might be 12 hours earlier than we think, and we give ourselves 6 hours, you can see it. So, Kitzer, I know I'm being a Kitzer here, but the rule of Molad Zaken is because we want to be able to see the new moon on that day in order to make it Rosh Hashanah. So we give ourselves 6 hours to see the moon, and then if you ask the question, but it takes 18 hours to see the moon, so the answer is, if we have 6 hours, in Hawaii they have another 12 hours so they can see the moon, or if we have 6 hours, maybe the Molad was really 12 hours earlier some years, and then we'd be able to see the moon at least some years. Okay, that's Molad Zaken. So for example, if you want to look at when is Rosh Hashanah, Tavshanayin Vav, through the rule of Lo Ad Rosh, it's a bit easier, which it is. How about the next year? Shabbos, 20 hours. Hold on, that's more than 18 hours, right? Molad Zaken. So it gets pushed off to? But Lo Ad Rosh. So it gets pushed off to Monday. So that's why it's another Monday next year. How about the year after? Hey in 5 hours. Hey in 5 hours is okay, right? So it stays on hey. How about the next year? Bays in 14 hours. Bays in 14 hours is okay, right? So it stays on days. Now, before my time runs out, because I said I would finish well before 1 o'clock, so I don't have that much time to finish well before 1 o'clock, but I haven't written the rear dechios. But now you know how to make a calendar. Why? You just figure out the Molad Tishrei of every year. Using the dechios, you figure out when Rosh Hashanah is. Once you know when Rosh Hashanah is, then you go back and figure out the Kesidron or Shleiman. How do you do that? Right? So, right here, remember, if Beis, then Pesach has to be Zion. If Hey, then Pesach has to be Gimel. If Beis, then Pesach has to be Zion. Remember, last Pesach has to be 2 days earlier than next Rosh Hashanah. And if you know when Rosh Hashanah is when Pesach is, how do you know how many days in Cheshvan and Kislev? Well, if you know when Rosh Hashanah has to be, and you know when Pesach has to be, then you know what to do Cheshvan and Kislev to make it work out. So, for example, this year we know it has to be Shalim, because if it's a Beis Zion in a leap year, we know it has to be Shalim. Next year, it's a Beis Gimel in a non-leap year, so we know it has to be Ches. After that, it's a Hey Zion in a non-leap year. A Hey Zion in a non-leap year, what does it have to be? Chaf. And this, if we would go to the next year, that's not on the board, the next year the Molad is Aleph, 11 hours. Aleph gets pushed off to Beis, we know it's Beis, which means Pesach has to be Zion. A Beis Zion in a leap year, this is another leap year, what's a Beis Zion in a leap year? Has to be Shin, it's another Bashaz. Meaning, Tavshanayin Tes, 2018 to 2019, is Bashaz, the same as Tavshanayin Vav. Everything's going to be the exact same thing. Everything's going to be the exact same thing down to that Israel and America are going to be off from Pesach till Chukas Balak again. Because it's still a Bashaz year. In some years, they catch up earlier. Just because Pesach's on Zion, a Bashaz and a Gachaz and a Hachaz are different in terms of when they catch up. Because it'll be different in terms of other things. Okay. That's how we figure out the calendar. I taught you the two common dechios. Now you know 95% of the time how to figure out the calendar. Now, let me just fill in one thing. Why did I say Geshav was impossible? Very poshut. In order to have a Gimel, the Molad had to be before noon on Tuesday. Right? If the Molad is before noon on Tuesday, then you add, it's a leap year, 5 days from Tuesday, you get Sunday. Before noon, you add 21 hours, meaning you get Monday before 10 a.m., right? So if it was Monday, did I do that right? No. Gimel plus 5 days is Aleph, Yeah. You get... why did I feel like I did something wrong here in Ashana Muberis? Is this Ashana Muberis? Yeah. If the molad was before noon on Tuesday, then next year's molad has to be... yeah, easy. If the molad was... I apologize. Okay, ready? Yeah, sorry. If the molad was before noon on Tuesday, then next year's molad is before 10 a.m. on Monday. If next year's molad is before 10 a.m. on Monday, then when does next Rosh Hashanah have to be? If it's before 10 a.m. on Monday, it's a Monday Rosh Hashanah. If next year's Rosh Hashanah is Monday, then when does this year's Pesach have to be? If next year's Rosh Hashanah is Monday, when is this year's Pesach? It has to be Shabbos. Meaning, you can't have that because, again, if the molad is Tuesday and it's a leap year, you add less than 6 days, the molad is Monday. And if the molad is Monday, you can have Rosh Hashanah on Monday. And if you can have Rosh Hashanah on Monday, then there's no dechia because there's no dechia next year. That's the principle. If this year is a gimel and it's a leap year, there's no dechia next year. It's not a mola. It's not going to be afternoon on Monday. If it's not afternoon on Monday, then it stays on Monday, right? There's no dechia past Monday next year, and therefore you can. It's impossible to have this year based on the rules of the arba dechios. It's impossible to have such a year because next year's molad would be no later than 10 a.m. Monday. And if next year's molad is no later than 10 a.m. Monday, next year Rosh Hashanah is Monday, which means next year's Pesach is Shabbos, which means there's never a gasha, only a gachaz. Okay, I didn't finish all the dechios. And I didn't, but I finished most of them. We will, whoever wants to come back, this is the basic how to... we're awfully close. But, Beseder, this is the basic way the calendar works. And by the way, if you work out, all these other things are possible. Like you work out when the molad is that Rosh Hashanah would be this, and add when the molad could be next year, it all works out that it could be any of these things, except for that one. I will just mention the last two dechios without explaining them. They are, the last two dechios are called Gatrad and Batu Takpat. Gatrad b'pshuta means that in Shana Pshuta, if Molad is after Gimel 9 and 204 Halakim, then it's Nidcha to Wednesday, which makes it Nidcha to Thursday. meaning, on a Shana Pshuta, if the molad is on Tuesday, but it's after like 3 a.m., it gets pushed off. And the last one is Batu Takpat Achar Ibor. Batu Takpat Achar Ibor. If it's after a leap year, then if molad is after Bays 15 and 589, then it's pushed. Here it's pushed to Wednesday. Here it is pushed to Tuesday. Okay, why we have those two, I have not explained, but those are the two rarer, there's good reason, those are the two rarer dechios. Okay, anyone who wants to continue, but you got the basic idea of how we make our calendar. Like, you want to make the calendar for the next 100 years? Just add the Molad Tishrei, figure out what Molad Tishrei is. Use the dechios to figure out what Rosh Hashanah is. Once you know when Rosh Hashanah is this year, when Rosh Hashanah is next year, you know what kind of year we have, and the rest is pasha. And you can tell what years are going to be exactly the same, like now and 3 years from now. I will continue Rav Meir Hashem on Thursday at my regular slot, if that's okay with everyone. And does everyone going to be in Meiron? What? Okay, Michael. What? Okay, yeah, I don't know if you'll be in the mood for... okay, whoever's going to be here. Anyway, Thursday, my regular slot, I will explain the last two dechios. I'll illustrate it a little more, and I will deal with the difficult part that we haven't dealt with yet, which is which I mentioned a little in the regular Gemara Shir, but I'll go into a little more, whether we really know the length of the year and how that affects us. And we'll pick up with that, Amir Tz Hashem, Thursday.